Blog Talk Radio.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we thank you first and foremost for your sovereignty, for who you are, that you set things in motion and they fulfill what you have called them to be and do. So, Father, we, in like manner, submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your day, to what you've orchestrated, how you have scheduled your playbook today. We don't try to usurp that flow, but we endeavor to submit to that flow, to find ourselves consciously stepping in right relationship with you. With that being said, Father, we ask you to forgive us for sin, iniquity, and transgression. And we choose to forgive those who have sinned against us, caused iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we thank you for forgiving our forefathers also on both sides of our lineage to the third and fourth generation. And we choose, we make a quality decision to forgive ourselves and to not allow ourselves to beat ourselves up or to deal with areas in our life that we've fallen short. So, Father, we thank you that you have and you specialize in cleansing and purifying and equipping us to get up and to walk pure before you. So we utilize that today. We thank you for the broadcast. We thank you for the anointing that's upon this particular broadcast. We thank you for the insight, your spiritual insight that you willingly desire to give. We thank you for the wisdom that must be applied in this day and this hour in order for us to fulfill the fullness of who and what you desire, for that protection, for that guidance, for that inspiration, for the purpose. It's not happenstance that we were born in this time and in this hour. So, Father, help us to fulfill that purpose. We give you the praise and you the glory in Yahushua's name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And I'll pass that back to you.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead, again, as I mentioned, open up with the Before Torah Study Blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kishanu BeMitzvotav Yitzchanu LaAsot BeDivrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. Well, Rabbi, if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and get started with our recap this morning. I want to real quick just give everyone a reminder, and this is something we discussed at the end of our broadcast last week, but all of us are having a situation where we have to really take the lens and the viewpoints and the perspective we had of end times, and we're really having to sift our end times viewpoints with the Word of God. I know that might sound like a no-brainer, if you will, but we have to evaluate everything that we've held dear, everything that we've believed, and we have to hold it up to the Word of God. And I know, again, it might sound like, yeah, that makes sense, but when we really think about it, we haven't done that as much as we need to. And so as we go through this study, we're just going to continue pointing back to the Word and say, does this line up? So I just wanted to give a really quick reminder and disclaimer there. One of the things I always want to mention, especially if this is your first time listening, we want to make sure that in this time we are living as a bride who is making herself ready. We have to make sure that we are presenting ourselves as a bride without spot or wrinkle. And in order to even ask that question of ourselves, we have to ask, am I a bride of Messiah? We have to look back, and we've discussed several times that the whole Bible is a pattern, of a Hebraic pattern, of an ancient Jewish wedding. And there are spiritual requirements of the biblical ancient Jewish wedding which must be met and maintained in order to qualify for the bedroom chamber, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, if you will, the rapture. And again, our scripture references, again, are Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, and chapter 7, verse 15. So one of the big questions we talked about last week as well, as I kind of shift gears here, was a discussion of whether or not the third temple has to be rebuilt before the second coming of Christ. And we looked at two main scriptures. If you are writing notes, these are two that we want to make sure we go back to. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 through 3. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Now, this has been a source of major confusion because what happens is that individuals try to retrofit, as Rabbi had said last week, retrofit their theology into a present-day scenario. And that's why I went and started this whole dialogue with, we have to make sure that our perspective and our viewpoints match with the Word of God. Now, one of the things that people often get confused or are misconstruing is the idea that the third temple has to be finished and complete before the Antichrist is revealed. Okay, and you'll hear me use Antichrist or false messiah. False messiah is more of a Hebraic look at the word, but Antichrist literally is saying opposition to Christ, the one opposed to the very Messiah. We looked at the third temple as it was described in Ezekiel chapter 40, verses 40 through 48. And one of the things that we looked at and one of the questions we had was, if the third temple plays a major role in the timeline of end times events, why didn't Yeshua mention it's being rebuilt? Going back to Matthew chapter 24, 1 through 3, when he's with his disciples, he pointed out, you see this temple? And they're like, yeah, we see the temple. And in fact, they were showing him the temple. And he says, it's not going to be here anymore. And he just left them with that catastrophic thought. He only mentions to them the second temple will be destroyed and never again, and as far as the signs of its coming, mentions that it will be rebuilt. And so when we can look at it, and especially go through Scripture, and see that Yah has not placed the third temple as a major player or major piece in the end times events. And one of the things we also pointed to with discussion of the third temple, we also have to remember that while we're talking about a physical house, we cannot forget that Yah is designed to do a new thing with a spiritual house. And so in this time, we also have to keep perspective of his spiritual house. The other major thing we discussed, and it ties in to the third temple in a sense, but we talked about King Cyrus and the prophetic picture of King Cyrus and the markers for him. We talked about 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 through 23. And we also read through Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Part of the markers for the King Cyrus figure is that he is supposed to start the rebuilding of the temple. And we also see that part of his role in the times of the first King Cyrus and in the prophetic picture and in the end times is that he's supposed to help to cover and to protect the DNA Israelis and all those who are called to be the offspring of God. I love how you pointed out, Rabbi, this scripture. You pointed us to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. I want to go ahead and read a snippet from this. It says, those who are walking in Torah, I guess I'm paraphrasing actually, and keeping the testimony of Jesus Christ, and the ones who have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, with the desire to become and maintain themselves as brides of Christ. These are the ones who are called to be the offspring of God in this manner. And this is who the figure is supposed to protect. We also looked, again, I'm going to go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Now, we talked about this as far as the revelation or the revealing of the false Messiah, the Antichrist, and how he opposes all that is God and so-called God, and he tries to sit as God, and quote-unquote, in a temple of God. And we talked about this about 2 weeks ago as far as the aspect of temple and how that looks like it has been misconstrued in the lens of the New Testament writing, or the translation, I should say, because when you look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2, it literally says, I am a God, is what this figure, the ruler of Tyre, is what calls it here. I sit in the seat of gods in the heart of the sea. Now, it doesn't say in the temple of God here, but it says in the seat of gods. And the Lord tells him, yet you are a man and not a god, though you have regarded your heart as that of a god. So you actually almost, not almost, we see the writer of Thessalonians referencing indirectly Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. And I challenge you to look back in your own Bibles because there is a cross-reference there, a cross-reference to this scripture. And so we can begin to look through theological analysis and Lex Wilson Tactical Analysis, that these scriptures are connected. Okay. Now, one of the things that we want to point out as far as the markers of King Cyrus is that within the 3.5 years, there's an overlap period between both King Cyrus and the Antichrist figure, one who is trying to protect the people of God and the other who wants to destroy the people of God. So those are two opposing figures in the end times events. One of the things that we wanted to point out, the individual people group that have been ordained by Yah to protect is the only group that Satan is coming to destroy. And we see this in Revelation as well when it talks about how he's going after the woman and her seed. So as I've mentioned, King Cyrus and the Antichrist contrast each other. One of the things that we also had a very sobering discussion about was that these 3.5 years, this is where Jacob's troubles are revealed. We looked at Revelation chapter 12, verse 6, and verse 6 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and verse 14. And it's a very strategic year where Jacob's troubles are revealed. We discussed an interesting perspective where Yah and how Yah speaks to Israel, and he says speaks of Jacob in the same breath. And we talked about the view of how Jacob is specifically talking about the children of Jacob, the DNA Israeli, if you will. And so we have to also understand that Israel is a bigger picture, just as we mentioned earlier, how all those who are called to be the offspring of God are those who are connecting with him and walking in his commandments and keeping the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, a sobering picture of this, we also looked at Jeremiah chapter 16, which is specifically speaking to DNA Israeli as well. And this is a specific call and mandate on their life pertaining to the second coming of Christ. The mandate is that they are the ones who are supposed to call back Yeshua by saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes back, who comes in the name of the Lord. And so HaSatan, the Satan, the adversary, knowing this, is going after him. And Jeremiah 16, the scripture talks about how the Lord has sent fishers and hunters to gather Israel. And unfortunately, in many ways, they are unwilling. And so Jeremiah is very clear about persecution that is coming. Now, we are closely approaching prophetic events which must take place very soon. One of the things Rabbi left us with last week was, if the current president is called to be a Cyrus figure, then he will need to be reelected because the prophecies we've discussed have not happened yet. So we have a lot that we're talking about, Rabbi. We're chewing a lot here. But these are very, very important key markers and timepieces, if you will. We have the Third Temple, and we have the discussion of the King Cyrus figure. And we're also talking about, as it mentions in 2 Thessalonians, the coming of the second coming, but more specifically, what we're looking at is the rapture. And it's important to know that these things cannot take place yet until the man of sin is revealed. So we have all these things playing in the mix, and we're very close to this time. So, Rabbi, I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to you so we can get started this week.
Awesome. That was an excellent recap. And I pray that those of you that are taking copious notes, that you really got an opportunity to begin to check your notes to make sure that there aren't any missing key pieces, because these pieces will affect your micro. Now, we talked about the macro, the meso, and the micro, and we talked about the importance of the micro, okay, as far as that is concerned. And so it's imperative that as we go through this and as we talk about this and we deal with this, that we begin to really take personal inventory of what is going to affect us individually. So as we go back, and I feel led that we need to kind of gloss back over just a little bit, you know, just a micro bit, if you will, the discussion pertaining to the situation with Cyrus versus the situation with the Antichrist, because they're at odds with one another, as we've said before. But that clash of the titans, if you will, causes me to say for myself and prayerfully you that are the listening audience, how does that affect me, and what should I be doing to prepare myself for these perilous times, so that it is just a small speed bump and not a huge mountain that I have to go around. That's imperative for us to understand this, because, and I want to go, in a little bit of a different direction, but yet it's a direction that we've already massaged somewhat, and that is in Revelations chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13. Now, Pastor Andre, you did an excellent job of expressing to the audience and explaining to them the 3.5 years and where that is in Revelations chapter 12, and the fact that verse 17 that we've already mentioned is talking about and really beginning to point the finger at a war, a battle with Hasatan, with Satan, and all of his army against the true children or offspring, if you will, of Israel. Now, it even gives that nomenclature, it gives the definition, okay? And we need to make sure that we understand that, okay, that what it doesn't mean, or what it's not saying, if you will, is that everyone else that doesn't qualify, they will be oblivious to this catastrophic war that's happening, not just in the heavenlies, but here on earth. Okay? So let's pick it up at chapter 13. And you read through this, I want us to kind of dialogue a little bit, because for those of you that are listening, this piece that we're going to be discussing, this is the piece that goes right in line with this 3.5 years. This is the piece that goes right in line with catastrophic situation and perilous things that are just, we're at the cusp of it manifesting upon us. I personally believe, and pray that I'm wrong, and I don't have a problem being wrong. I would prefer to be wrong in this particular case. But I pray that next year is going to bring such a catastrophic decision-making based upon our personal freedoms, that it's going to send the whole cosmic understanding of what we do day to day in a topsy-turvy, upside-down situation. And I'm not just saying third world countries. I'm saying the U.S. of A. as well. It's going to really begin to rattle. I mean, it can happen even as early as November during the elections. I'm expecting that to actually begin to sever understandings of what we thought our religious freedoms, our personal freedoms, our economic status and wherewithal in providing for ourselves and our family and our fellow man. All of those are going to be turned on its head. So we need to be really prepared for that. And I'm talking about mentally prepared, not just spiritually, but mentally prepared. Because there are many that are in such a state of fear that they're going to become casualties. And it's going to manifest. Revelation chapter 13. We're going to pick it up at verse 1 and go to probably about verse 8. Go ahead.
Okay, that sounds good. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. I'm reading from King James Version this morning. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they which worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And that's 3.5 years right there. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
So what we see here and what we are beginning to understand is that in the manner of speaking, it's as if God is not present to help fight our battles. It's as if Satan has won and has taken over and taken authority over the earth and over the people of the earth. So when you begin to see this, begin to understand what's happening, we need to not lose heart, but we need to take faith in knowing and understanding that the Father has allowed this in order to prepare the saints and those who are, I want to say, straddling the fence spiritually, looking for the other shoe to fall, because there's many of us out there that are saying, okay, well, when is the other shoe going to fall, and what is it going to look like on the earth when this happens? Keep in mind, a new world order is trying to be emerge and trying to be birthed. And in this new world order to try to be birthed, there has to be a right amount of chaos. That chaos is what needs to be placed upon us as a people in order for us to begin to move and shift in the manner of speaking towards a false Messiah. Now, that false Messiah is what you're seeing here that's going to rise up, and it's going to be kind of like what we had said before, like, the underdog motif, you know, that we talked about before, or that motto, you know. So this Antichrist can come to save the day, the same day that he caused chaos in order to set himself up. He's got to move quickly, and the reason why he has to move quickly is because we see that the Father has already established his understanding of the manifestation of what is to happen soon and very soon. So that's why we're beginning to see, even at the cusp that we've talked about, we're beginning to see and understand that these things are actually beginning to happen right now as we are doing this broadcast. As we're actually, as we are sharing this information, the manifestation is happening. It is happening. So what we've got to understand and what we've got to get a grip on is, how does that affect us? What is it that we need to be doing and preparing ourselves for? And we've talked about Cyrus. And we, Pastor Rhonda, we've said that he's not finished. If he, and of course the he, of course, is our current president, the actual prophetic word over his life, is not finished. With King Cyrus in the scriptures, we have found it to be understood that he was to start, not finish, the building of the temple. But he was to start it. And as you've already said that we've talked about, he was to protect and to release the children of Israel. Now, these bullet points are important for us to understand, because all of this is going to be happening during the beginning portion of this 3.5 year mark. This 3.5 year mark is going to set the stage for both what we talked about in Revelation chapter 13, as well as some of the things that we're going to go back and cover in Ezra. So I'm going to have Pastor Andre go back into Ezra, because they overlap.
Sure.
We talked about the overlap, the overarching. They overlap, and we need to understand, while this is happening, okay, over here, the other is happening as well. Now, if you just read Revelation chapter 13, you kind of get that sour feeling of, oh my God, this is really going to be bad. And trust me, it is going to be bad. If it's saying that the saints will be given over, okay, through his power, then that tells you that it's going to be bad. But understand this, those who are listening to this broadcast, there will always be a remnant. And the remnant has to be able to be prepared to fulfill the things that are necessary on an individual basis, not just for your protection, but for your relationship with Yeshua. Because Yeshua will protect you, but you must be submitted to and walking in the covenant relationship that warrants that protection. The protection just doesn't come just because you're a believer and you confess Jesus. The protection doesn't just come just because you're trying your very best to walk in Torah. No, the protection comes because both of them together with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Spirit of the Living God, leading your every step is what protects you. That is what keeps you. Most of you out there, and then we're going to go into Ezra, most of you out there have run into some very catastrophic situations that either you yourself or loved ones that you know have faced pertaining to COVID-19. We've had a current situation happen within our family structure where an individual was let go from their particular job. Well, at the very moment that the individual was let go from their particular job, someone called that same individual and said, I need you to begin to take this professor job and begin to teach here. Now that's divine placement. That's divine protection. That's divine covering. And what we need to understand that we are in that moment, Pastor Andre, where the Father already knows the end before the beginning. And so he's already ordered our steps. And although we don't know and don't see what will befall us from day to day, he has already provided. And all we have to do is submit to his provision and trust that he will be there to guide us through this labyrinth, if you will. This maze that seems to have no end and no opening in sight. Ezra chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 1 and verse 2, and then we'll comment on that.
Okay, sounds good. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah.
So this prophetic motion, or a prophetic word, has already gone into motion. We already see from this first presidency, okay, that this has been the main focus of what the Father has done and is doing and is moving upon our current president to manifest. But now, as we begin to read more further, I want you to understand that the people of the book, or the people of the Torah, okay, that peace and the freedom for that people group has not been manifested yet. Now, if that's the case, this is where the what if comes in. If that's the case, and if our current president is supposed to fulfill the prophetic prophecy, complete prophetic prophecy of King Cyrus, then what we're looking at, even though it doesn't seem likely from an economic viewpoint and a populist vote viewpoint, what we're looking at is a repeat of the presidency in order for this to happen. And now if that happens, then I feel very strongly, Pastor Andre, that we have just started that 3.5 year clock. And I want you to kind of comment on that before we go further.
Yes, especially what we're doing right now is we're looking to say, does this match up? And Rabbi, I didn't even realize how much people had been talking about Cyrus and President Trump, the current president. I didn't realize until I started doing my own research again after we had a discussion. But if he is matching up biblically with the things, we saw him bring focus back to Jerusalem. That's where a lot of Israelis were beginning to say he was Cyrus, and they made coins with his face on it. That irked me a little bit, but I was like, whoa, okay, what is going on? Are they looking at this from a false lens? But evaluating this, and if he does begin to match up, it would necessitate for him to finish the mission to be reelected. Now, if he is, I'm saying if, then it very much indicates that we are in the final countdown, if you will, because the protection of the children of Israel, and as we talked about earlier, him going at odds, the King Cyrus figure going at odds with the Antichrist, if you will. All of these things play out in a very small window of time. And so it would have to kick off a timeline for the 3.5 years or the 40 and 2 months, as we just read in Revelation. So, yeah, this is a pucker factor. We're sitting here looking and saying, is this it? If it's not, so be it. But if it is, that means that we have to set our stopwatches and be ready to move accordingly.
Amen. I totally concur with that. Verse 7 and verse 8, if you can read that. And we're still reading out of Ezra, chapter 1. And we're just getting a fortification and a foundation so that we understand what the prophecies are saying. And then, like you said, matching those with where we are in this prophetic timeline of King Cyrus to see if those things that are spoken our day in our timeline, what actually is happening.
Verse 7. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mithradath the treasurer, and numbered unto them Sheshbazzar the prince of Judah. Is that
so,
the right scripture?
King of Cyrus. Say again, I'm sorry.
Was that the correct verses?
Yes, that was both the correct verses. All right, so the king of Cyrus passed, took that which was taken by Israel, and gave it back to the children of Israel. Now, we said this before, but it must be reiterated so that we make sure that we don't miss this. There is a spiritual piece that Yeshua was trying to get his disciples to see. Going back to what was already stated, that is one of the main reasons why Yeshua never mentioned a third temple pertaining to all the prophetic manifestations of catastrophic understanding with the seals being open. He never mentioned the third temple at all. The third temple is not a player, again, what was already reiterated in the recap. It is not a player, okay? There's many individuals that are still believing that the third temple has to be built in order for the Antichrist to reveal himself. They are so in the dark and will be taken captive by the enemy if they are not redeemed and if their mindset is not redeemed to the truth of the scriptures, okay? But where we are here, he has to begin to give back. So that means even to the DNA Israeli, all right, this stimulus packet is just a small snippet of what is going to be given back to give the release of the Israeli people. That has to happen. Now, understand something. We've said this in many broadcasts before, okay? All of this plays in line with Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 through 39. The woes. When Yeshua was prepared at that particular time, at that instant, to redeem Israel. And I'm talking about the DNA Israel then. And they were not ready. So he says all of these manifestations of destruction and catastrophe has to happen before you will call me back. And we're talking about the second coming here in that particular passage. So even as we as brides are getting prepared for the doors opening for the rapture for us, Yah is still preparing the elect to have to go through certain aspects of what was already discussed, and that was Jacob's trouble, in order for them to be so distraught and so perplexed and hunted by the hunters that they begin to call out for Yeshua to come and save them and to rescue them. And we know in Daniel, we talked about this, in Daniel chapter 12, okay, the high-ranking archangel, Michael, will be called at that particular time to come and begin to rescue his people, the people of God. And all of those aspects will happen, but that's during the tribulation period. So we're waiting for that to kick off. We're waiting for that to happen. We're going to jump to Ezra chapter 3, verse 7, and we're going to read some more just so that we can continually get an understanding of what these prophetic purposes and prophetic mandate that Yah has placed on King Cyrus of old, to see if that affects the manifestation of what seems to be, with our current president, the King Cyrus of the prophetic prophecies. Ezra chapter 3, verse 7.
Okay. It says here, they gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Sidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia.
So they had this grant. Now understand who they are. They that had this grant is the original DNA Israeli. Okay. Now, as we begin to go through other particular scriptures, and I want you to jump in here, Pastor Andre, because this
All
is
right.
what irked you. This is what irked you. Okay? Because even in this older narrative, they had false Israelis trying to jump in and trying to make the manifestation of this happen. And in doing so, you'll see with Zerubbabel, and we'll get into that. I'm just kind of giving you the narrative a little bit early. And you'll see that with him and the rest of the DNA Israelis, they made a valid point. And it was no small, you know, dissertation that they pointed the finger at these individuals who were not called, not mandated to fulfill this particular prophecy. And they said, you have no lot with us. They made a serious prophetic, you know, marker in the sand and said, you know, you're on that side, we're on this side of this prophetic prophecy. Mm. Well, spiritually, that is happening today. And we need to understand that, because as we begin to see that shift, we need to make sure that we're on the right side of that particular shift. Because Yah is watching, and he has dispatched his angelic host to make this particular shift happen properly. That's an imperative, that's a major point, that's a major statement there. Okay? Let's jump to Ezra chapter 4, verse 3.
Sure. But Zerubbabel and Yeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us.
And you need to understand, King Cyrus was unaware of all of the upheaval. King Cyrus was unaware of the manifestation of demonic activity trying to usurp in the prophetic mandate of God. That's happening today. That's happening today. Pastor Andre, your comments.
Wow, I'm reeling from it too. I'm looking at this. It's shocking. I didn't know the degree to which there was that much opposition. And this is good to review this chapter again, to see that they had to make sure they kept what Yah was asking of them. As far as the, I don't know if you're alluding to just the tensions that happen now, but there is always, as you mentioned earlier, there is a remnant. There's always a remnant. And what happens is sometimes a remnant is not identifiable at first, but God knows who that remnant is. And so Yah is going to protect and to make sure and keep the remnants for the purposes that he has in mind. And there are always, and this is a tactic of the enemy, as we talked about tactics, knowing the tactics of the enemy. He always will try to come in and to preempt things and to get things started in his terms rather than on God's terms. But Yah always knows and will reveal at the time the players and the things that he has ordained to be in the position or ordained to fulfill his purpose. We can give examples of throughout Scripture, even of how the Lord would have an anointed person. What first comes to mind is the boy king Josiah, and how he was kept and hidden by the priest in the temple. But then, you know, the evil queen Athaliah came and she tried to take power first, but and she called it treason that they actually kept the living king of that Yah had appointed alive. And the same thing, the enemy will try to do the same thing. He always tries to usurp, take power, and to put his position in play first. But the Lord will reveal at the right time the key player that he has appointed. So I'm realizing there's always a struggle within the spirit realm, especially between what God has appointed and what the enemy tries to preempt or usurp to bring in the mix. And I'm sorry if I went all over the place, but I'm still also processing what you asked me, what we're talking about here. So I'll pass it back to you.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I totally understand and I totally get that. Because, I mean, for the most part, this particular spin, I know, and you've shared this with me, and so I feel it's okay to share it with everyone else because you've also shared it with everyone else, that this is a new spin of a prophetic prophecy for you, and probably for a lot of you, because it's not highly publicized. I haven't seen it anyway, where there is a contrast between the Antichrist target and the call and the purpose of King Cyrus. And it's important for us to understand that even King Cyrus was unaware of the underlying rifts that were happening between Zerubbabel and the priest and those individuals that wanted to usurp that authority and that power and that anointing and the profitability. But we need to understand that this is the time to profit as we submit to Yah. This is the time that the provisions are being set forth for the bride and for the elect as we submit to Yah. It's going to be a daily submission. It's not going to be a weekly thing or put it off for next month or next year or what have you. We can already see through the catastrophic windfall of just upheaval of the coronavirus. That's worse, it seems, than the actual virus itself because of constriction that it has placed upon everyone. So we need to begin to see that, okay, if in fact this is the way the Father wants this playbook to begin to manifest, we need to make sure we know who the players are. So that as we are walking in relationship with Yah, don't assume that what you see on the surface is what actually is. Mm-hmm. You have to begin to see with the eyes of Yah to know who and what he has placed in its proper order so that you find yourself always in Goshen, because that's going to be the the motif, if you will, throughout all of these perilous times, is where do you find yourself? You need to find yourself in Goshen throughout every aspect of every wave of every catastrophic issue that manifests itself. That's just, it's so key. I feel that so strongly, that key has to be there for all of us, if that makes sense. Now, with that said, let's go into a couple more bullets of what I was just speaking to the Lord about, and just asking him to kind of shed some light and some understanding on for me personally and for me in my house, but also for all that who desire to take note, to prep and prepare themselves, and to find themselves in the protection of Yah. Because we've talked about the current president and the similarities. So a part of that aspect of those similarities is watching how he deals with the DNA Israeli coming forward. Now, as of current, it has been a blanket understanding, but one of the underlining manifestations is bringing the currency back and setting it back so that across the board, to include the DNA Israeli, they can be empowered. So we're looking at the Father making a mandate of empowering them, not just financially, okay? Oftentimes we get so caught up, you know, in the financial prosperity of things that we lose sight of the spiritual prosperity of what the Father is doing. So let's begin to pay attention moving forward to the spiritual manifestation of his covering and how he begins to utilize even the monetary system and just different aspects of that to reset. We're looking at a reset of debt, if you will. So in the natural, there's a debt reset that's manifesting. But in the spiritual, God will lead you into spiritual moves, prophetic moves. They're quick. They're you know, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime. The door opens, you step in, and then you find yourself translated spiritually over here. Okay? These are the markers, if you will, that we need to be paying attention to coming forward. Okay? A good example of that, Pastor Andre, is Daniel. And I want to look at just some passages of scriptures where Daniel himself, where, you know, the Lord just really began to move upon him and begin to prosper him. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. We're just going to pull that one out, because keep in mind, this is still during the reign of King Cyrus, even though in this particular reign of King Cyrus, it mentions the reign of Darius, a relative of his. Now, King Cyrus reigned for approximately 34 years. Now, he never, and we've said this before, but it's worth mentioning again, he never finished what some people say is his prophetic call, and that is to completely rebuild the temple. There's no scripture that says this. I know that's shocking to some, okay? But I want you to pay attention to, as Pastor Andre reads this, please pay attention to the situation of what happens to Daniel as he's focusing on his micro. He's focusing on praying three times a day. He's focusing on keeping himself in Torah. He's focusing on keeping his relationship with Yah, with his vertical relationship with the Father, and horizontally his relationship with fellow mankind. Because remember, he started his ministry under the authority of Nicodemus. I mean, not Nicodemus, I'm sorry, starts with an N. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one that helped Nebuchadnezzar get saved. Okay? So now he's under two more regimes, and the Father is still prospering him. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28.
So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian.
He prospered in both reigns. The Father is wanting to, with all this calamity, with everything that's happening, beloved, the Father has promised that he will prosper you and me. Now, we have to stay within the construct of his authority. We have to walk in Torah. We have to walk in relationship with Yeshua. We have to be submitted to the Holy Spirit and allow the Ruach to begin to guide our steps, our footsteps, and the things that we do and the things that we don't do. But if we do the things that we should and continue not to do the things that we should not, that prosperity, that manifestation of freedom is ours. We don't have to conjure it up. We don't have to, you know, try to work up to a certain aspect of it. It freely comes to us. It's freely given to us of God. Pastor Andre?
Amen. I'm sorry, did I miss a cue? Thoughts.
Yeah, I just said your thought.
So I think it's interesting how this verse is pointing out how Daniel succeeded in no matter what situation he was put in. And it reminds me of how Paul speaks about being content and knowing how to be spiritually successful no matter what the circumstances are around you. He says, you know, I've learned to abound, I've been brought low, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think for us, especially in this time, we're having to really, and you and I were talking before the show, we have to really sear our emotions to the point where they are not the things that are dictating how we will live our lives. And when we do that, we can be successful in what Yah has for us. We can be successful in the things that Yah has ordained for us. When we submit ourselves wholly to him, mind, will, and body, emotions, all of the above, our soul. And so there's a prosperity both in the natural and in the spiritual peace of God. And I see Daniel being an excellent example for us in living in a time when especially there is external persecution, external stress, but yet he found a way to maintain and to prosper. And you pointed out something just a few moments ago, Rabbi, that really hit me through the airways here. As far as Daniel's lifestyle and as far as his prayer life and as far as his devotion and focus on Yah. And it wasn't just two kings, but at least four kings that he went through and was brought to the top and prospered regardless of the external circumstances that he found himself in, even at one point being thrown in a pit of lions. So we see Yah's protection. We see his prosperity upon him in trying times.
Amen. Amen. And I believe that that's hope for those listening that are concerned about, you know, what's happening. I know with our particular loved one, there wasn't even a time for that person to even say, woe is me, what's going to become of me, because at the very moment after, within 24 hours from the time that the person got the notification that the company was downsizing and that person was one of the first ones hired, so had to be one of the first ones fired, if you will. Within 24 hours, the person already had another job position teaching at a college level. At a college level. Within 24 hours. Okay? Do you understand the gravity of that? I mean, I know that I do because, of course, you know, it was a part of our loved one's, sphere and circle. So, of course, my wife and I went into prayer. But for God to move so quickly and to already have the antidote before the doctor ever states the problem. It was there. I'm telling you, for all who are there that need hope, that need that restoration and that assurance, because we're in a time and a season where assurance is a must. You must be assured that the Heavenly Father not only can, but will move on your behalf, will move with your loved ones. You have to be at a place of assurance, but that assurance comes from relationship. And we miss that composite. We miss that little connection that it's based upon relationship. I know for me, if I'm busy doing something, but my wife calls me or contacts me or says, hey, I need this or I need that, unless the Lord says you continue to do what you're doing and this will work itself out, I'm immediately working in my mind towards fixing the problem and coming to a rescue or what have you. Okay? That is my mindset. But it's my mindset based upon our relationship. You know, it's not my mindset just because she's a nice person. It's based upon our relationship. And we miss that piece, Pastor Andre. We miss that. So let's continue each day like Daniel did to reestablish and connect our relationship with Yah. I mean, to me, if I have to look back at COVID-19 and look back at what it did in a positive way establish, it established that we have been relying upon our own strength, our own ability, and not upon Yah. Now it's making us have to be a Daniel right now. And it's only going to be fortified and intensified because this is the playbook that the Father has for his bride. Now the rest of the world is up in arms and they're looking for a false Messiah. But the remnant will be as Daniel. It's imperative that we get that and begin to mark that. Even with the King Cyrus prophetic prophecy, it's not so that we could focus on King Cyrus and say, you know, there is no need to fear because, you know, King Cyrus is here. No, there's no need to fear because God has provided King Cyrus to help fortify our relationship back to the Father. So our relationship, our intimacy is at stake. You're living by how much you have deposited in your relationship bank. If you have not deposited much in your relationship bank, there is very little that you can withdraw at this particular time and season. And if you fear, you're fearing because of that. And righteously, you have every right to fear because you have not been depositing over the time period that you've had available to you. So let's repent right now. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, in areas of my life that I have not deposited within my faith bank with you, based upon my relationship with you, based upon my frequency of going to the spiritual bank and depositing prayer, depositing my time of fasting, my time of getting in the Word, my time of beginning to pick up my cross, but yet crucify my flesh daily. Father, I ask you to forgive me for that. Forgive us for that. Because now it's coming to bear. Now you're saying, how much do you have in the bank for this particular situation, for that particular situation? Father, you can multiply. You can wipe the slate clean of debt, and you can multiply. But we and I have to make a quality decision right now to reestablish my relationship with you, to mirror image Daniel's example, even during the time of King Cyrus. Let me not put my faith in King Cyrus. Let me not put my faith in our current president, but let me put my faith in you during this season where you're favoring King Cyrus, so that when there is no King Cyrus anymore, I won't put my arms up and say, woe is me, for I am undone. No. Because I can draw from the relationship that I've already built during the times of King Cyrus, so that whatever may befall the rest of this world, like Daniel, it will never befall me. Because whether it was King Cyrus or King Darius or Nebuchadnezzar or his grandson, you protected, covered, and promoted Daniel throughout all of those temporary reigns of government. We thank you for that. We hold on to that, and we stay steadfast in you, in the name of Yahushua. Amen. Well, Pastor Andrew, we ran out of time. Can you share with those individuals? Yeah. Could you share with those? I mean, give us your thoughts, of course. But share with those individuals information for those who may want information about us.
Absolutely. And just real quick on the thoughts. As you were closing, Rabbi, it really resonated strongly, the aspect of the spiritual deposit in the bank. And as we have these periods of time where we're preparing, it is now time to make large deposits. Sometimes for those of you who understand the 401k aspect, but it just so happens a lot of times as people get near to needing to withdraw that they have to start putting in more to make the goal. And I pray that that's not necessarily the case for all of us, but I know for many of us, including myself, I need to make more deposits. And so that's a very timely word, Rabbi. So I just thank you for that. It really struck me hard. But we see here, and you can't get away from that scripture, that Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus from this chapter here, chapter 6 in Daniel, verse 28. So I want to thank you all for listening and sharing and joining with us in this discussion. So thank you for joining us on These Be Perilous Times today, and we're glad that you've taken time to study with us. And we encourage you, more importantly, to study and go back and study these things to make sure that they are true, just like the Bereans did. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem here in North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, we welcome that. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. You can visit our website as well, www.bethhashem.org. And again, Beth Hashem is spelled BethHashem. .org. You can find us on Facebook if that's easier for you, facebook.com/ Beth Hashem Ministries. Finally, and not to be least or less important, we want to offer time. And we have made arrangements for if you want to support the ministry and donate, or if you simply want to pay the tithes if you're a congregant and give offerings, you can do that via Cash App. And that's it. www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem. Or if you prefer, you can mail a check to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina. And that zip code is 27704. So again, thank you for all those who have contributed to this ministry and continue to partner with us. And we give you a hearty thank you. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close with our after Torah blessing. And again, the reason we do this, one, it is scriptural to bless the Lord at all times. But what it does is it helps us to focus ourselves before and also to kind of put a closing mark on what we have received. It's like a moment of Selah, if you will. So as you listen to the After Torah Study Blessing and its translation in both Spanish and English, reflect on what Yah has been speaking to you, not only today, but throughout the course of our broadcast sessions. But I want to go ahead without much further ado and play our Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam natah bikokeinu. Baruch atah Yehuah noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehuah, dador de la Torah.
Amen and amen. And Rabbi, before I pass it to you, go ahead and recite the Aaronic benediction for today. And again, this is from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 27. If you want to read that in your scripture, as I sing this in Hebrew.
Yivarechecha Yehuah Ve'yishmerecha Ya'ir Yehuah Panavelecha Vichunecha Yisai Yehuah Panav alecha, be'esem lecha, shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. And in reciting that Aaronic blessing, one of the things says to give you peace. Father, we need your peace today. And peace is greatest when there is war, when there is turmoil, when there is just chaos all around. And we know that as we begin to go further into what is to befall this earth, only more chaos. In order to produce the Antichrist, it's going to come. So, Father, we appropriate your peace upon our mind, our heart, our purpose, and let our purpose be your purpose. Let our steps be that which you have ordered. Let us be the warrior bride that you are looking for in these last days. So your peace will be our battle axe, and that we will world that battle axe of peace as you direct it towards the enemy. We glorify you. We honor you. Build the relationship that feeds the spiritual bank of our heart and your heart. Mend our hearts together so that we are so one with you that we get lost in you and not in what the world is trying to do. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.